since this is Christmas, you know, there are people who are members of this church but who do not necessarily live in this area. We have some messages from these people with some photos. Those include those photos of people who cannot come to this church, we are so happy that we can have this worship service to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, let's learn from the Bible about the birth of Jesus Christ. If you have the Bible, please open Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. This is a famous passage that records the birth of Jesus Christ. When you read this passage, you know, you find something strange in here. You know, you see an irony in this story. A powerful man is not prevailing over the weak one. That's the irony. The powerful man does not have peace, and the powerless has peace. That's the irony. And the powerful man feared this small child. That's the irony. Usually, it's the powerless who fear the powerful. But in this story, the powerful man is fearful of the weak. Out of fear, this man tried to brutally kill all the babies. He has incredible fear. Magi from the east went to see Jesus, led by the star, and they presented Jesus with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If the story ended right there, there's nothing funny about this story. If the story ended with the meeting of the Magi with Jesus, and this is a story with a happy end. But that's not the way the story ends. And of course, if that it just ended with a happy end, there was no reason for the birth of Jesus. Our world is a world does not end with happiness. Human society is something that does not end with happiness. And that is why the Jesus had to be born. Jesus came to the world where sinfulness exists. And of course, today's passage features King Herod. He must have had a lot of power. People envied. This baby was born, had no power at the time, but King Herod feared him. And Jesus Christ, as a baby, had no power, nothing to resist King Herod, but he was so fearful. He was so fearful that he killed all the babies under the age of 2 years. He mobilized all the forces that he had, and he tried to get rid of the source of his fear. When people are in fear, people try to do everything possible to get rid of fear. And taking care of the fear becomes the first priority. So then it doesn't matter whether they hurt other people. So that's what people do. That's the weakness of human beings. This is the weakness of people. Because people are weak, they fear. So they try to gain power. And to try to use that power to get rid of the fear that they feel. And so they try to accumulate power. And when they are in fear, they use that power. And they lose calmness and try to hurt people and the physical world as well. And they try to hide the fact that they use power to hurt other people. So they always try to accumulate power to be able to do that. And once they are able to do what they want to do, people pretend not to know what happened. When you look at the world, you see the people often act because of fear. They try to do everything to get rid of fear that they have. It's true in some people in the Bible as well. The people who have power, people who have political power, people who envied the Pharaoh of Egypt, the Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and King Herod. All these kings had fear. Although they had power, they had fear. So they tried to increase their power. But King Herod was fearful even of this baby. But oftentimes their power is not effective in get rid of fear. Even if you have money, even if you have physical strength, even if you have knowledge, educational credentials, occupation, age, experience, political power, arms, technology, arms. But these things are not effective in getting rid of the fear that King Herod had toward this little baby. And King Herod killed all the babies under the age of 2, but he was not able to kill Jesus Christ. He mobilized all the forces that he had, and he engaged in mass murder. The only thing he had was the cry of the mothers of these babies. Isn't this comical? Isn't this ironical? And King Herod continued to live in fear. And this is how our world works. This kind of irony, it reigns the world. But at the same time, we know, even when we know this, we oftentimes do what I just described. You know, you hear the phrase vicious cycle. And this is the root of the vicious cycle. Try to gain power in order to escape from fear. So you try to gain more power, but you cannot still get rid of fear. We have fear because we don't know where, some of us do not know where our life came from. We have fear about the way we look. We have fear about disease. We have fear about people, customs, and tradition. We have fear of loss. We have fear of sharing with others. And we have fear about death. And we have a vicious cycle because of these fears. So we are on a big ship, in a sense, named Vicious Cycle. And we don't know how to get off the boat. Jesus Christ was born. He was off the boat in the first place. The ship of the vicious cycle. Jesus Christ did not engage in the vicious cycle. And he was born powerless. In that sense, he showed how empty having power is. So he, in a sense, symbolized the importance of not getting on the ship of the vicious cycle. He said to him about himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's what he was saying. You know, you don't have to get on this boat of the vicious cycle. There is another way if you follow Jesus. We, as Christians, are the ones who got off the boat of the vicious cycle. However, we often commit sins, try to get on the boat. Apostle Paul wrote in many letters, he was basically saying, do not try to compete with others in terms of power that you gain. Since we are saved and got off the boat, but we oftentimes try to get on the boat and try to compete with others in terms of power. So please walk without getting on this boat of the vicious cycle. That's what Paul was saying. And if you see what Jesus did, and read the four Gospels, Jesus Christ was saying what Paul was saying. Jesus Christ showed the type of life that we need to live by getting off the boat of vicious cycle. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the passage I shared with the Manna Kindergarten children. And I asked children and the parents a question. This is the question I raised. Why was he born as a baby? Why was he born as a baby? This is a question I want to ask you as well. Why was he born as a baby? The reason he was born as a baby is that to show that it is okay to be weak, you don't have to be strong. Being strong is not the most important thing. We're not going to get strong by getting power. We should, our true strength lies in the fact that we believe in the Trinity of God. That power, God gives us peace, comfort, and power. And that's what Paul said as well. Although we are weak, we are strong because of Jesus Christ. you can see from King Herod. When we have power, we hurt people. When we have power, we hurt people, other people, and hurt other creatures. I wanted to be strong when I was a child, too. So I wanted to gain muscle. And I wanted to be strong intellectually, so I studied hard as well. But when you look at your reason why you want to become strong, is that because you can defeat other people. I've come to realize, as I became a Christian, I realized that we always try to depend on power that we have. And we ask sometimes Jesus to give us more power. If we are powerful then and share with other people, that will be good. But when we have power, when we accumulate power, we are often afraid of sharing it with others. Because we think by sharing it with others, we will become weaker. But if you accumulate power more and more, the more fear you will be in. That's why Jesus Christ said, it is a blessing to give than to receive. And Apostle Paul also said, it is better to give than to receive. That is the solution to many problems. It is a blessing to give than to receive. What do you think? It's a blessing to give than to receive. Can you do that? Or do you think you cannot do that? What do you think? I used to think I can do it very easily, but it's difficult to do. Sometimes we still actually, at the bottom of the heart, that it is actually a blessing to receive than to give. I lived in the U.S. for 3 years as a student, as my family, and we told you about my story when I didn't have money and I was afraid I was going to be bankrupt and I always praying for more money. One time there was a party and everybody's supposed to bring something. And I thought, I'm going to eat something good. So I wanted to eat something good at the party. But because I was in a financial difficulty, I thought I would take something that was cheap. And I knew the other people also had financial difficulties as well, but they wanted to share, and that's why they brought incredible food. At that time, I realized how cheap I was, how greedy I was. And I was following the principle that it is a blessing to receive than to give. I was afraid of sharing. It made me realize that I was at fear of sharing things with others. That was the sinful nature of that in me. Why did King Herod live in fear of Jesus? Because he was afraid of sharing things with others. He was afraid that he'll lose power if he shared things with others. He did not know the God's blessing that will come when you share with others. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25, I mean 20, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is a very famous passage. He says, you know, do not worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. It's okay. And by worrying about these things, you are living a type of life that depends on power. Jesus Christ basically said, forget about these questions, what you eat, what to drink, what to wear. And if you are preoccupied about these things, you are filled with fear, and you do not have to live like that. Instead of being in fear and worried about how to gain power, he said, seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And you'll be satisfied if you live like that. Be thankful for what you have. And be free from a type of life that depends on power. King Herod was preoccupied with power, and because of that, and because he had fear, he engaged in mass massacre of numerous children. King Herod wanted to save face. He wanted to save power. He wanted to justify himself. He had fear of becoming weak. He hurt other people. Do you see in King Herod a similarity that exists that in us? Even if we are supposed to know Jesus Christ as a Christian, do we see some similarities in us? How many people have we hurt in our lives? Because we are sinners, We cannot live our lives without hurting people. In fact, we probably hurt more people than comfort more people. Do you realize that? If you look at David in the Old Testament, in a sense, he knew his weakness. But for a long time, he did not understand that David was a king, a great king, and he was respected. He was spiritual. But he engaged in a sexual sin with the woman who had a husband. And when that sin was about to be exposed, he was afraid. And he used his power and his authority and had the husband of that woman killed in a war. Although this man was a very loyal man named Uriah, he used his power to have Uriah killed. What did he do? He pretended not to know. He used power and had a person killed, and he used his power to have it erased from the memory. And if you look at Psalm 51, and prophet Nathan pointed out this problem, and David was embarrassed, and he repented. He repented. He blamed himself when that was pointed out by Prophet Nathan. If you look at Psalm chapter 51, verse 5, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." He realized his sinfulness, and he exposed his sin. So David realized how sinful he was. So he made a confession of sin. And he realized he had depended on power. And he was in fear. And he hurt other people. And this is the most important thing we can learn from Christmas. What we can do in front of Jesus Christ is just one thing. That is to confess our sinful nature. We hurt other people. We hurt husband, wife, father, mother, children, friends. And when you realize that, the God's grace appears. Based on that realization, Jesus Christ comes to you. King Herod never came to this realization. Oh, he had power, but he was in fear, and he ended his life based on this irony. The Christmas is now just around the corner. If we just make singing hymns, and if we have comfort, if we just do that, we don't understand the true meaning of Christmas. Well, it's like eating a sushi without fish. It's like eating ramen, but without drinking the soup. It's wasteful, isn't it? So, when we understand about Jesus, who was born powerless as a baby, and when we realize that we are like King Herod, we need God's grace. Because based on this realization, we are sinful, comes the grace of salvation from God. So therefore, although we are weak, we become strong because of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, you gave us Jesus Christ, who was born as a powerless baby, but do we realize the meaning of Christ? Do we confess our sins based on that realization? Instead of just celebrating Christmas as a commercial event, but Jesus Christ came to us as a baby, powerless. Are we not like acting like King Herod? Please help us realize our sinful nature. We hurt other people. That's our everyday life, but we want to repent, confess our sins. Thank you for the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.